Go ahead and have a seat this morning. And why don't you watch the screens, if you would. Get our heads back on. We're doing Joy 365. And so let's remember what the angels had to say to us.
Few would have considered it a silent night, a holy night. Travelers jostled in the city gates. Weary fists pounded on closed doors, pleading on the outside, arguing from within, all to the same refrain, no room. Among the houses rang raucous Roman laughter, census takers with comfortable quarters and plenty of food and wine. There is little peace and less goodwill between stranger and villager here. Somewhere a dog barked, a lamb bleated, a woman moaned, and a baby cried. Out on the hillsides, exposed to the cold night, without even a stable for warmth, shepherds huddled around the fire, guarding their flocks against thieves and wolves. Suddenly, a light to split the darkness, a voice, a song, a chorus of angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a son, a shepherd, a king, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Awaken, O little town that cannot sleep. Hear the shepherd's words. The angel's message. And arise to a sound unfamiliar. The triumph of joy.
That's what we're talking about, the triumph of joy. How do we take this joy that we celebrate at Christmas and let that be a part of our life, 365? And today, as we move forward and think about that, I want to take you back again to those words of the angels, this time under a theme that's called Joy 365, Forgetful Forgiveness. Forgetful Forgiveness. Let's revisit the words, see if you got them by now. I highlighted for you, of course, the words that you get to say. And it's those words from the angel. So if we can go ahead in the slides. There you go. Thank you. And those bold words, say them together like you really believe it, okay? You ready? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Are you getting more comfortable with those words? No, I mean, it's, remember, good news of great joy, right? That's what we're talking about. Angels in the sky saying good news of great joy. Where I want to bring you today is, we proclaimed it on Christmas Eve, but to just take a deeper look at one word, one experience that the angels announced to us on that night. And that's there in verse 11 where it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And that's what we rejoice in, right? In this Christmas season that not only has God come near and promised to be with us, but God came near in Jesus. He came near in Jesus to grow up and become a man, to grow up and be a faithful servant, and do whatever the will of the Father was, including lay down his life for each one of us. To do what the will of the Father was, including take on the cross for each one of us. To lay down and do whatever it is the Father asked of him, including confronting death, and rolling aside that stone and rising again. The gift of Christmas is we have a Savior. And because we have a Savior, our sins can be forgiven. What I want you to do today, though, is think about the significance of not just that word, that gift, that Christmas gift we hopefully unwrap. Not just that we unwrap it up here in our head, but we really unwrap it in our hearts. For us to have a Savior, first of all, means for us, it means we are not only forgiven, but we're allowed to forget. If you go into the scriptures and you look at Psalm 32, the psalmist begins talking to us about sorrow, right? And what I want you to see is the psalmist is going to tell us that there is a good sorrow in our life and there is a bad sorrow in our life. There's an appropriate sorrow, and that appropriate sorrow is that sorrow that comes upon us when we know we've done something that is contrary to what God desires. You know, I mean, when we've done something, when we've experienced life, and when, you know, you just step back and you just feel that pressure of God on your heart, and you know God is just pushing you to come to grips with what you've done. God is just putting that heaviness on you to bring you to that place and that time where you say, you know what, I messed up, right? Am I the only one in the room who's ever experienced that sorrow? I hope not, right? Where God is just pushing you. That's a good sorrow, right? But the psalmist is also going to tell us about a sorrow that we can let go of. Let's let the psalmist speak. Psalm 32. Before I confessed my sins, my bones felt limp, and I groaned all day long. Night and day, your hand weighed heavily on me, and my strength was gone as in the summer heat. That's good sorrow. Do you know that sorrow? That's that heaviness that comes upon us when we know our life is just not going in the direction that God wants us to go. It's that heaviness that comes upon us when we know we've done something, said something, been about something that it's just not what God is about, right? And that heaviness comes upon us, and the psalmist says that's what it feels like, and it drives us to verse number 5. Verse 5 says, so I confessed my sins and told them all to you. Did he hold anything back? Not at all. He laid everything out, right? He further, I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. So he has this sorrow that pushes him to this place in his life where he says, look, I messed up, God. I'm going to tell you everything. He holds absolutely nothing back. He just pours it out. Now look what happens. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. Not only did he forgive a Savior, but the Savior came to not just forgive, but also to take away the guilt. Do you see that? So if the guilt's been taken away, it's not there anymore. If the guilt has been removed, you don't have to carry it anymore. If the sorrow has brought you to that place where you confess your sins and you pour it all out and you receive what it means to have a Savior, forgiveness, it means you don't have to carry the sorrow anymore. It is taken away. For us, Christmas is not only about receiving this Savior, but receiving what the Savior accomplished. Receiving that forgiveness that he brings to us. And the forgiveness he brings is a forgiveness that not only forgives, but it also forgets. Let's turn to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 7. He too, talking about sorrow. He says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. Is that a good sorrow? Absolutely. A good sorrow that leads us to say, you know what, I need to change the direction of my life. I need to get right with God, right? There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. It's a good sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. What happens? You come to God with the sorrow that God brings into your life and to bring you to that place of confession. But once you confess, once you pour it all out and you receive the forgiveness, you got to let go of the sorrow. See, what too many of us do in the world is we come to God and we confess and we get this sense of forgiveness, but then we hang on to all the memories, we hang on to all the sorrow, we hang on to all that stuff that Paul says destroys our spiritual life and it destroys our joy. When you hang on to all the memories of your brokenness, you're going to destroy your joy. You have to learn forgiveness is not just about God proclaiming it, but you receiving it. So you can let go of it. You can let go of the sorrow. You don't have to wallow in it. You don't have to keep it as a martyr's medal. You don't have to talk about it anymore. When God forgives, God also forgets. The psalmist helps us understand it. He says in Psalm 28, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive what? You see that? If you receive it, they will receive it. If you receive the mercy, that's all you need. You don't need to hang on to any of that stuff anymore because you receive the mercy. And God doesn't hang on to it either. God promises us that when He announces this forgiveness in the Savior that Jesus is for us, our sins are forgiven and they are forgotten. In Psalm 103, it says, He has removed our sins as far from us as east is from west. How far away is that? You can't answer that, can you? I mean, it's like immeasurable, right? That's what He says. When God brings forgiveness to us in this Savior, Jesus, in the world, He removes and He forgets. He removes and He forgets. He doesn't carry the sin any longer or the memory of it. There was a great English preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He had a great line, a great image for you here on understanding this principle. He said this, forgive and forget. When you bury a mad dog, don't leave his tail above the ground. Make sense? You get it? You see, if you're going to receive God's forgiveness, it means that you really receive it. And you forgive yourself, just as Christ has forgiven you. You forgive yourself. And you don't wake up every morning and look in the mirror and remember anymore all your failures and all your shortcomings. God doesn't remember them. You don't need to remember them anymore either. God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the Savior, is absolutely complete. Isaiah 43 says, but I wipe away your sins because of who I am, and so I will forget the wrongs you have done. We celebrate at Christmas the joy that a Savior has come into the world. And that joy is 365 because we know for Him to be our Savior means every day we can receive that forgiveness. And we can forget. We don't have to carry. We can forget. And instead, we can look in the mirror and see ourselves renewed in Christ, just the way God sees us. Okay, that's forgiving ourselves. Now comes the challenging part. If you're going to really receive what it means for the angels to say that you have a Savior, it's not only receiving that forgiveness, forgiving yourself, but it also means you have to forgive and if you have to forget about what others have done to you. You have to be able to forgive and forget about what others have done to you. 1 Corinthians 13 is that chapter, the love chapter. You hear it at all the weddings, right? Because it all talks about love. But there's a wonderful little jewel in here. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. Now, notice this phrase. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. Do you see that? Forgiveness not only forgives, it also forgets. This is so hard. You see, what's easy for us is to say in our own minds, to say, well, I've forgiven them for that. And I've forgiven them for this. Well, and I'm going to forgive them for that too. And you remember when they did that? Well, I'm going to forgive them for that. And we go through all the list of saying, well, I'm going to be magnanimous. And I'm going to forgive them for this and this and that and this and this and that and this. And you know what we got? We keep a list. Right? We keep a list. If we're going to forgive others, it means we're going to not only forgive them, but we're going to do the same thing that God has done with you. And that is you forgive them and you forget the list. You forget the list of all the things that they may have done to you that have hurt you one way or another. You forgive them and you forget. Jesus tried to make it clear with Peter. Peter came to him, and he came up to the Lord, and he asked, how many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? Is seven times enough? Jesus answered him, not just seven times, but 77 times. What's he trying to do? He's trying to expand to say, look, it's just, you just always do it. You just always do it. The challenge for us is not just to receive the forgiveness for ourselves and forget, but to receive that forgiveness, pass it on to somebody else, and equally forget the list of all the things that we could hold against them. You see, we have a term for that list, right? We call that list our grudge list, isn't it? Right? We call it our grudge list. And so, well, we'll forgive him, but we're going to keep a little grudge going. We'll forgive him for this, but it was a big one. We're going to keep a little bigger grudge going. What the Scripture calls us to is to not just forgive, but forget the grudge list. You see, you can't have joy 365 if you keep holding grudges. You can't have joy 365 if you keep holding on to the grudges. You have to learn to be able to let go of them. Someone once said, forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. It makes you free. Get it? Forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. It makes you free. Jesus is serious about our learning to be able to forgive others and forget. We have this prayer we say every Sunday here. And, you know, we take communion, and we always say this prayer. And, man, people just love this prayer. It's the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. And we call it the Lord's Prayer because it's really valuable to us. And, boy, we recite it by heart. Most of you know it, right? Do you remember the little phrases in there? Something about forgive us our trespasses as we... See how that works? Jesus is really serious about that kind of forgiveness. What we forget is in Matthew 6, where the prayer, Jesus gives us that prayer, he ends his statement about how we ought to pray with these words. If you forgive others for the wrongs they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Does he sound serious? See, what's he saying? Is he tough? No. See, if you haven't learned yet what it is to forgive others and be able to forget the list, then you obviously haven't learned yet what it is for God to forgive you and forget your own list. Jesus wants us to understand he came into the world to be a savior. I mean, he came into the world to really save us from our sins, to save us and forgive us and make that real in our lives. And if it's real in our lives, it means the old stuff is gone and the new has come and we are forgiven and we can have joy 365 just because we're forgiven and we can forget. Now, this also applies for us to not only forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, but amazingly, it seems, also in terms of forgiving God. Forgiving God and forgetting our anger. Now, you hear that and you probably say, well, wait a minute. I have to forgive God? What wrong did God do? What, God didn't do anything wrong. God never does anything wrong. He always does everything right. The problem is we blame him for a lot of things. We decide that we should blame God for a lot of things. Things that we say, well, why did God do that? And God never should have done that. And I didn't want God to do that. And we come to him with a bunch of lists of stuff and say, God, you need to supply this. You need to supply that. And then when he doesn't supply this or he doesn't supply that, what do? We blame God. We make God kind of that person and that scapegoat for all of the things that go wrong in our life. And we blame him for that. What the Scripture would have us see is that it's not God. And what we need to concentrate on is practicing that kind of receiving forgiveness that allows us to get our relationship right with God and say it's not God and just forget the anger that comes from our own confusion. 1 Corinthians 10. Maybe this will help. It says this. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So what's common in this world? For all of us, that includes you too, ladies, by the way. Things are not always going to go our way. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. What is God doing? Well, we blame God when God is really just trying to give us an opportunity for something new to happen in our life. And yet we often blame God because it didn't go the way we wanted it to go. When we do that, we set a barrier between us and God, because now we're blaming God and setting ourselves higher than God. We need to be able to remove the barrier by receiving the forgiveness that says, God, it's not your fault. And we need to let go of the anger and discouragement we had towards God. The Apostle Paul was serious about that in Corinthians. Jesus was equally serious about it in Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. What's he trying to remind us? Let go of any of that anger. Let go of any of that resentment that you have, that you blame God for this or that or whatever it might be, because God loves you more than anything. And we have a Savior. You see, when the angel announced that the Savior had come into the world, it was the announcement that God's love for you has become real in a person. And this person would grow up to become a man who would willingly give himself over to the cross so your sins could be forgiven. This person would grow up to become a man who would take all of the burden and all of the sorrow. This person would grow up to be a man who would confront death for you. And all you have to do is just receive it. And just trust that God loves you more. And that's why the Savior came. That's what keeps Joy 365 alive. Joy 365 is when we can just concentrate on today and focus on today and trust that God is looking out for us just like He does every sparrow. If you go to James 4, it gives us the encouragement to do that, to focus on today. It says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Or is he bringing you to? The Savior came into the world so you can receive forgiveness and you can forget the list that you hold against yourself. The Savior came into the world so you can receive forgiveness and pass that on to somebody else and forget the list that you hold against them. The Savior came into the world so you can even forgive God. You can forget all the anger and the blame that you would lay at His doorstep. And instead, you can just focus on today. Focus on the reality that a Savior came into the world. And receive the incredible joy that those angels announced that today, this very day, you have a Savior. And because of it, this very day, you have forgiveness. A forgiveness that absolutely forgets. And today, you can be a new person. And that joy lasts 365. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you. So many things in our life try to crowd out our joy. Help us to remember that we have a Savior. Help us to remember that Jesus came into the world so that we could know that forgiveness every single day and we could forget the pains of yesterday, the failures of days gone past. And instead, we can focus on this day. Concentrate on just doing whatever it is you will to bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you, God, for a Savior. And we thank you for the new life that he brings, the new life of today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.